Maggie is in the Midwest enjoying some vacation by a lake right now. It took her a while to get there. You know, she flew on Friday during the tech outage, so she did not fly on Friday. She flew on Saturday. I think she eventually landed there. Hopefully she is relaxing after quite a stressful travel day. But she's part of history because that was one of the worst travel days of all time.
And in typical Maggie fashion, she put it all on social media. In fact, like at the end of the day, edited a video her 12 hours in an airport.
Yeah, it's really fun. You could check out her.
It's not fun.
I mean, the video's fun. I've never seen more suitcases lying on the floor in my life. Go to @MaggieGray. Or you could go to @MaggieAndPearl and vote on our greatest sitcom ever bracket. Huge battles today. Simpsons, Jeffersons, Family Guy, Office, Seinfeld versus 70s Show, Fresh Prince versus I Love Lucy. So go vote. But today is a big day. Training camps are opening around the country. They'll all be open by Wednesday, I believe. One of the most famous training camps, of course, is Green Bay. The players get on the bikes. It's super cute. But this is a stressful time a little bit in Green Bay. Jordan Love is under contract but wants a new deal. Now it's going to cost the Packers probably somewhere north of $50 million a year. That's the lowest they could probably get away with because Jordan Love is a good quarterback. And now if Trevor Lawrence gets that, Jordan Love probably deserves that. So, Andrew Bogus, will Jordan Love, I don't know what he has to put on. I would say put on the pads. It's obviously not pads. Will Jordan Love show up on the field and be a full participant in your opinion? And if you were Jordan Love, would you do that?
I would do it if I was him. Mm-hmm. I'd get out there, and I think he will. It seems like they are close enough to a deal that he feels good about going out there. Everything points to this getting done. The team said they wanted to get it done. Remember, we played the clip last week where he was talking at some kind of like charity thing, and somebody asked him about it, and his buddies, cronies came in. No, not now. No, thank you. And then somebody said, "Good news soon" or "News coming soon."
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be surprised if we find out today that things are signed. Now, there was a Tom Pelissero report yesterday, I think it was, that they were not like at the goal line, pun intended. But like,
yeah, ESPN reported they're not quite there either.
But I think that it feels like they're far enough along, and there's no reason to think that they're not going to get there, that he's going to play anything close to hardball.
Now, the only thing that gives me pause is the end of the Aaron Rodgers era. So GM Brian Gutekunst famously ticked off Aaron Rodgers. They kind of played hardball. The Packers are a little different, and this comes back to the Giants on Hard Knocks. There is no owner of the Packers to walk in and say, "You better make sure my starting quarterback is happy," because they are famously publicly owned. They don't have an owner. So I'm not sure the Packers are going to do the same thing with their starting quarterback that everybody else does, make sure they keep him happy. I think it's one of the reasons Aaron Rodgers was on shaky ground the last two or three years with Goody. I think that they're just set up differently. So that's why they might be far apart, is because the Packers are much more bottom line oriented and they want to maintain flexibility on this young roster. Listen, if they pay Jordan Love $55 million, they're eventually going to have to cut costs somehow. They have a lot of young players on both sides of the ball they have to pay at some point. So I can see them playing a little bit of hardball. I agree it's going to get done. I'd be surprised if Love wasn't on the field because there's a lot of good vibes around there. But the Packers are a little different.
They're definitely different, and there doesn't seem to be full clarity yet on exactly what might be holding this up, because the money is kind of self-explanatory. You just go a little north of what the previous guy got, and you want to, you know, from the Packers' point of view, they want to get this done before any other contract gets signed.
Well, they just signed Kenny Clark, though, the defensive lineman.
But I mean, they don't want any other quarterback signing anything can skew the quarterback market.
Are you looking at Dallas and Dak Prescott?
I'm looking at anybody that needs to get paid now.
Tua
needs a contract. Dak needs something. And that's it, right? Because
I believe that is
it. Because Herbert's done. Trevor's done. Hurts is done. Burrow's done. Josh Allen is done. So it's Tua and it's Love, and then it's the veteran in Dak. And you don't want anybody to do something stupid and raise that number closer to 60 when it just crossed 50. But there are structural details that you can debate here of when things are paid, how much is guaranteed. Does the team particularly have a way to get out of it? Like, where is the escape clause for the Packers?
Does Jordan Love take maybe a skunch less to allow the Packers to re-sign other guys. Maybe that's what they're working on too.
Maybe, but like you and I and Maggie have kind of had this conversation indirectly because your old colleague, I'm guessing you guys are all out there at the same time, but Andrew Brandt at SI has written a lot about this, that they're really, the argument of if you pay a quarterback X amount of dollars, you're screwing the rest of your roster. In his belief, that's not a thing.
What?
Because there's just, you don't ever, no matter what you're paying your quarterback, there's always money left over for the other things that you need.
So that kid, well, we have to get Andrew Brandt on because how is that possible? Explain.
I mean, the last time you guys talked about this, I actually emailed you his write-up.
Okay.
His story.
Yes, and I didn't buy it then, and I don't buy it now because I watched New Orleans not be able to pay everybody. When they gave Drew Brees the money. And the fact that there's always a quarterback on a rookie deal in every Super Bowl says something.
Well, right, but
it wasn't as black and white as I think as you're saying now. I understand what you're talking about. But there obviously have been decisions. I mean, look at the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill is not a Chief because they can't pay everybody.
Sure, but they also just won the Super Bowl.
I understand, but
paying Patrick Mahomes a lot of money.
I understand, but we know Tom Brady. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes definitely took less than he could have. He's not the highest paid quarterback. So Mahomes said it. He took a certain deal so they could fit in Chris Jones. I know you're scrambling to find that article.
I'm trying to pull up the article right now. Yeah, because the difference is there's cash and there's salary cap.
Right.
And there's two different things, and there's ways where they don't line up exactly the way, they're not a dollar for dollar comparison. And yes, there's always decisions to be made. And there's always at some point going to be a place where somebody has to go because you need to pay other people. But like that's true always. Like at some point the money does run out. But committing $50 million a year to your quarterback is not an immediate cause for concern.
Ooh, you got to get this article because I 55, that's a big chunk of the salary cap. And yes, you're right. You could kick the can down the road, as they say, and extend it. But
yeah, and like
you're definitely better off. Look at the Texans. They have C.J. Stroud on a rookie deal, and they just went out and got Stephon Diggs and Danielle Hunter. And you can't ignore on one level, it seems very obvious that the teams with quarterbacks on rookie deals are just getting stars all around them.
Okay, so the article is entitled, Big Quarterback Contracts Are Not the Problem. Salary Cap Management Is.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know how to, like, I can't read you the entire article.
Well, you're going to have to read it to me in the break then, because I'm still dubious.
Okay.
No, Andrew Brandt's brilliant. He's forgotten more about salary cap and contract structure than I will ever in a million years know. But it does seem, listen, I'm sure even Andrew Brandt will say, like, you can't just pay Jordan Love $55 million and not expect any repercussions. All right, Bogus is reading.
Yeah, and I'm already to paragraph, 12 trying to find this and, try to put it all together. Let me start from here.
Yeah.
Paying a star quarterback $40 million is not what gets teams in trouble. What does it all... So I'm trying to get through some of the stuff.
Right. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada.
And again, this is written in 2023, so some of the references, obviously, for teams and players...
Yeah, $40 million.
There's an Aaron Rodgers-Packers comparison in here.
It's $40 million is like backup money.
Right. And Aaron Rodgers is no longer a Packer. Paying a top quarterback in cash is not the issue. Dealing with the leftover cap accounting in the future is much more the problem.
Of course.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
Right, but
I don't care about the cash. Right, it's about fitting in star players around Jordan Love once you pay him $55 million.
I understand. And, all right, again, you can, for the second time, I'll send this to you, and you can feel free to read it in its entirety.
Well, also, I think we got to get Andrew on later this week. Specifically about what impact, if they do pay Jordan Love, will have on this team.
I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
Paying Jordan Love today does not then lead them to having to make 6 or 7 cuts to fit him in.
Right, but what happens at a certain point, let's say Christian Watson has finally a healthy season and they got to pay him, their young wide receiver, or what happens with all those, remember all those first-rounders they've drafted on defense, what happens when they have to pay them? The Quay Walkers of the world. There's going to be some interesting decisions. And we do know the teams face salary cap decisions, real decisions. The team that's won the last two Super Bowls has had salary cap cuts. There's no doubt about it. They'd love to have L'Jarius Sneed back, but they can't.
Right, but also then you have the Giants, who are not anywhere close to an elite team. And even before paying Daniel Jones, they had a crappy cap situation because they paid too many other people the wrong amount of money.
Right. Like, so you're saying...
So the argument, it's about not messing up other things as well. You get in trouble by making five mistakes, not by making one. I mean, teams have cap... Even the idea of, like, oh, that guy has too much of a cap hit to trade. Carson Wentz had, like, a $35 million cap hit, and teams were fine with it. The Packers ate money to get rid of Aaron Rodgers, and they survived it. Like, all these things that people throw around a lot are not... 100% universally true.
Well, I think the Broncos ate a ton of cap with Russell Wilson, and I think they're going to pay for it. I think they're going to have a bad season.
Yeah, and the Rams had to punt on a year because they put all of their eggs into one basket.
Right.
And they had to do a reset, but they still have Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp.
Well, the worst is when you have this huge cap hit and you don't win like the Giants. That was a disaster because they paid Daniel Jones, $80 million over 2 years, essentially, even maybe a little more. His cap hit is $47 million this year. Amazing. Or at least his salary is $47 million. Yes, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think you can ignore the fact that the Packers have real decisions here. Yes, is Jordan Love worth as much as Trevor Lawrence? I think absolutely. I think he's a great quarterback. But here's the other question. If you pay him, let's say $53 million, split the baby between 50 and 55, $52
million. Yeah.
Do you have to win a Super Bowl if you're paying your quarterback over $50 million a year?
I think you have to win a Super Bowl because I think Jordan Love is good enough to get you there. I think that's what makes it. I think that's about the talent of the guy.
Okay, so you're saying that doesn't apply to Trevor Lawrence, who just got a $50 million plus deal.
I don't know. This to me is, I don't know where to go with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has not been the guy we thought he was going to be coming out of Clemson. I think that's an easy thing to say. Then where you want to slot him after that here in New York, a lot of people like to compare Trevor Lawrence to Daniel Jones because some of their numbers line up in a weird way as equal. I still think Trevor Lawrence is better than Daniel Jones, but I don't think right now that Trevor Lawrence is playing like a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But Jordan Love now got his team a lead on the Niners and then made the bad throw that changed that entire game. But Jordan Love to me is on the trajectory of being a Super Bowl worthy quarterback. So that is where my expectation comes in, not because of what his paycheck says. His talent tells me that he should play in very important games.
Okay, take Jordan Love out of it. If you pay a quarterback $50 million, should you expect that quarterback gets you to the Super Bowl? Is that what you're paying for, or are you just paying to be a good team?
Well, but you're paying the market value. Like, if everyone's making $50 million and it's not unique.
Yeah, there's right now... according to Spotrac, there are six quarterbacks who are making over $50 million a year. And I'll tell you right now, none of them are Vegas's top two teams to get the Super Bowl next year. You got Joe Burrow. I think that's Super Bowl expectation. Trevor Lawrence. I think they'd be happy just to make the playoffs in Jacksonville. Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, and Jalen Hurts. So that means Patrick Mahomes, not over $50 million. He's at 45. And then Brock Purdy, the second favorite team, San Francisco, is still in his rookie deal. So I don't think an owner can tell his GM, if you pay $50 million as quarterback, you better get me a Super Bowl, because that's not going to happen in today's NFL. You're exactly right. The market has dictated that there are going to be a lot of $50 million plus quarterbacks who aren't going to sniff the Super Bowl. That's just the way, Justin Herbert, has he won a playoff game yet? He's over $50 million. So it's going to be... it's going to be disappointing if that's what you expect.
Right, and I think you can't expect that now. That's why, to me, you have to look at the guys who you think, so Josh Allen, Joe Burrow are already in this group of guys that should be in Super Bowls, that can win Super Bowls. I think Jordan Love is trending in that direction. I think Justin Herbert should be closer to that conversation than he is. Partially a little bit his fault, mostly the team around him and guys who can't stay healthy, bad roster moves. But the Niners are interesting to go back to them and the actual salary cap conversation, because they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy soon. But they've already paid Debo Samuel. They've already paid Christian McCaffrey.
Debo is going to be gone soon, possibly.
Or is Ayuk the guy that's not, it's because of Purdy, but it's not because of Purdy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Oh, like, I know.
There's a deal. Like, the money does run out unless you are super creative or guys want to be super generous. The money does run out, but it doesn't mean that you can't, that you shouldn't pay a quarterback top dollar if you think he's your starter for the next 6 to 8 years.
Oh, and I think the Niners are definitely going to play. They're definitely going to reward Purdy. I think he'll be $50 million plus.
They have to.
Yeah, unless he gets hurt this year, we never know.
Or they win the whole thing, and then he's 55 or north.
Yeah, it's very clear that they are not going to pay Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel moving forward. It's a certain
point. Not both of them.
Yeah, exactly. And they drafted Ricky Pearsall out of Florida in the first round, so that was a very, very clear message. All right, coming up, Joel Embiid called United States flag bearer old.
He was the flag bearer.
No. He called the flag bearer old. We are going to dive into Team USA, not just basketball, overall Team USA's decision to name a certain basketball player their flag bearer. You can weigh in 855-212-4227 or watch us on YouTube at Infinity Sports Radio Network on YouTube. Weigh in on the chat. Do you like America's flag bearer? That's next. Maggie and Perloff.
What are you laughing about?
I just got a text from a friend of mine. You may know her. Her name's on the show. She's wondering how the political talk's going so far today. Quite a weekend. Of course, Joe Biden dropped out. Nick Castellanos homered as usual on an important day.
Ho-hum.
Yeah.
It's just a Sunday.
Yes. Some of us were watching Team USA basketball. Now, Bogish, last segment, we spent about 15 minutes vamping, so you can pull up an Andrew Brandt article. I'm going to give you a warning here. Can you pull up the Joel Embiid quote about LeBron James? Because I am utterly mystified about these two Team USA stars talking about each other. I mean, LeBron is the man of the moment. He's going to be the flag bearer for Team USA at the Olympic opening ceremony. He took over against South Sudan on Saturday. Basically, they were losing, and he started pushing around guys, driving to the hole, hit a last-second layup. And he said afterwards, I love these close games. It's a lot more fun than blowing guys out. Be careful what you wish for, LeBron. But Joel Embiid, Team USA center, I don't understand what he was saying exactly here. Can you explain, Bogish?
No, I can't, even though I could read you the words that he said. Is he allowed to say these things?
Do you have it? Go ahead.
You look at the talent that the U.S. has, but there's equal talent on other teams. And the talent that's on the U.S. team, you also got to understand most of those guys are older. The LeBron now is not the LeBron that was a couple of years ago, so it's a big difference. This is for the New York Times.
Oh, right. Joel Embiid did that huge interview for the Times.
Yeah.
Said a lot of interesting things. Yeah, I don't get it. Like, he's just saying the quiet part out loud, that LeBron is old. If you're LeBron James and you read that quote, like, dude, what are you saying?
Joel Embiid looks older than LeBron.
I know. Joel Embiid's like late Kareem at this point.
I mean, get babyface Derek White to call LeBron old. Embiid has like the hips of a 60-year-old. He's calling LeBron old?
It's so funny. Steve Kerr announced at a certain point, he said that I think the core of who's going to be playing a lot, I like Embiid, Curry, and LeBron together. And most people are like, you're going to put Embiid out there with those two? Because Embiid is still recovering from injury, looks really slow. He's actually pretty good on offense, probably a little better than AD. But he can't get after guys on defense right now because of his injuries. That is just a strange quote for because LeBron looked awesome.
And I just didn't think you could, like, speak ill of the Godfather.
Yeah, I know. But it sounds like Joel Embiid didn't mean it. Like, he wouldn't have said, it didn't sound incendiary. It sounded like he was just sort of speaking.
But doesn't it almost sound like him explaining why he chose to play for France, or is it Cameroon? What's his?
Cameroon, I think, yeah.
Like, this almost seems like he's telling you why he chose to play, because this was the pick, right, between those three countries. It's almost like why he went in another direction, but he's on Team USA.
Oh, I see.
Telling you that the names on paper are not necessarily the names on the court, and these guys are older, and like we're kind of living off reputation. It's a weird thing to say, especially on the eve of the Olympics. I don't know. I don't know where this came from. I just didn't think that you were allowed to speak poorly of LeBron.
Well, that's a key issue for me. LeBron is 39. KD's 35. I think Curry's 36. You would think that there's some vulnerability. In normal basketball life, normal sports life, that's old. especially LeBron at 39. Michael Jordan at 39 was not pretty to see on the Wizards.
He looked like Manny.
Yeah.
You're wearing a Jordan jersey.
Yeah, what's up? Manny Rodriguez doing updates. You're wearing a number 9 USA team basketball jersey, and Bogus says it's not right. What's your problem with this jersey?
I thought it was a Dream Team jersey, but I think it might be an 84 jersey. I think
because
like the underarm paneling looks different, and the nameplate on the back looks different. I could be wrong, but at 5:30 this morning, half in the dark, like that's not Dream Team name and number on the back of his jersey. And I had, here's Manny wasn't even alive, I don't think. In 92, I had the actual Dream Team replica jerseys of Jordan and Pippen. And maybe Magic?
92.
And that's not dinosaurs. What I remember it looking like. There's some subtle differences about that jersey.
I think that's the Dream Team.
Is it really?
I think you're wrong. I'm noticing the piping on the side is the same as the Dream Team.
I don't know. All right. I'll sit corrected.
Yeah. It does look, the 84 looks similar. Now, they lost in 84, right? But Jordan was like the revelation.
Yeah.
Bobby Knight was like, oh my God, this is the best player who's ever walked on planet Earth. And turned out he was right. I don't know. I kind of like, it's very cool. Manny, why'd you wear it today?
Because it matched with the hat. I've been keeping this hat in the, and I've been keeping the hat in the holster for about a week and a half now. I saw it at Marshall's for about $11 and I thought I needed it. And, remember that I have this jersey and it kind of goes with the jersey. So
the hat,
and also go America, you know,
the hat, that Paris, says,
right, Pete.
Yep. Pete's not rooting for Team USA basketball. All the other Team USA. Me and Pete, I'm with Pete. Now, the hat says Coors Golden Colorado. So, just to be clear, this was all about getting that Coors hat out there. Nothing to do with Jordan, really?
No, it was more or less just color coordinating things, making sure that I didn't look like an idiot because I knew I was going to be on the stream.
I didn't see that happening. When you asked that question, I thought we were going to get some kind of Jordan-led answer. Mm-hmm. But the hat was the
hat
driving
is sick.
Force?
Yeah. The hat is sick. Yeah.
I'm not saying the hat's not sick. I just didn't think that was the central part of your ensemble.
Yes. No, this I started on Saturday thinking about what I was going to wear on for the stream today, and this ended up being the winner because I needed something to go along with the whole thing.
All right.
And I found this jersey.
What is you have a really cool t-shirt on, Bogus. Could you explain this?
I did see that at the beginning of the day at 5:30 when you saw me. Yeah.
These are rally caps.
Oh, cool. Where'd you get that?
Great. I think you have some gear from Baseballism. Great site. Isn't your Clemente hoodie jersey from there? Your Clemente hoodie?
No, that's Clemente. Roots of Flight.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
They have something similar.
So these are inside out baseball hats. That's really cool.
Yeah. The original, the shark fin, which is when you go sideways.
Oh.
Sure.
And then the stack of caps. That was my favorite growing up. You stack caps on top of one head.
Can I make a fashion observation? Because I live in Brooklyn. It's kind of a fashion place. The Bass Pro Shop hats are big.
That just say Bass Pro Shop?
Yeah, there's some form of Bass Pro Shop. Like every young sort of hip looking person is wearing one of those.
I think you need to be qualified to wear a Bass Pro Shop's hat.
I thought you were going to say you need to be qualified to make a statement like that because he said that the only qualification that he has is that he lives in Brooklyn. Apparently that's the bar.
Well, I just see a lot of young people wearing Bass Pro Shop hats. So I thought that might be the style of the day. I also heard something interesting my wife informed me. This is how lame we are. That ankle-high socks are no longer cool. You got to wear halfway up your thigh.
That's halfway
what
up
about
your
my
thigh.
What about my no-show socks?
No-show socks not cool. Ankle-high socks not cool. What do you got, Manny? Yeah, Manny is much cooler. Halfway up your thigh. You know, like quarter length. You can't have... Don't wear no-show socks anymore.
I'm not gonna wear them all the way up to my calves. They can definitely stretch all the way up to my calves, but...
All right, but like my 10-year-old son wears his socks like that. That can't apply to me and you.
I'm not even trying to be fashionable, so that doesn't... But Manny, is that true that higher socks are now in a little bit?
I mean, higher socks, I feel like they've been in for about a decade now, so I mean...
Yep, there you go.
Since I was in high school, and again, I graduated high school about a decade ago, so...
Sounds about right that we would not know that. Okay.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Let's take a break on the fashion talk and go into...
Sports.
What do you got, Manny?
So Jake Paul fought over the weekend, guys. He knocked out Mike Perry in the sixth round.
Not Mike Tyson.
No. Not Mike Tyson, not Mike Perry. Isn't that the officials guy, Mike Perry? Anyway, that led to the Jake Paul's win. That led to Conor McGregor to talk about it for whatever reason. Mm. He went on X, did Conor McGregor. McGregor is also the part owner of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. McGregor posted on social media, Jake Paul is the biggest, and I cleaned it up a little bit, Jake Paul is the biggest bag of urine I have ever seen in my life. 40-pound weight difference, juiced out of his head and still defecating himself in there. McGregor then went after Jake Paul's business partner in Nikisa Bidarian, saying they should take Jake Paul to Vegas, but then stops on his sentence, his run-on sentence, and says that they can't because Jake Paul would then be tested and therefore he would not be able to fight in Las Vegas. McGregor then went after the bout between Paul and Mike Tyson, saying, quote, and then calling out 60-year-old Mike Tyson fresh off an in-flight medical emergency. I swear to the man above, a fat can of bee urine, most valuable urine bag.
Can I play the clip from Old School? Like, I reward you no points to me. God have mercy on your soul.
I don't think that was old school.
What did you just say? Billy Madison. What did you just say?
A lot of bad words from Conor McGregor, essentially.
No, thanks.
You're out on Conor McGregor.
I'm out on all of that. I'm out on Jake Paul, Mike Perry, Mike Tyson, Conor McGregor, urine bags. I'm out.
Not into the urine bags.
No. No.
Wait, so hold on one second here.
No. Don't ask.
You know what I want to ask about? Bee urine, once again, you're talking about sampled bee, right? Not actual urine from the little flying yellow and black things.
No. I see what you're saying. No, I had to bleep myself out. He's basically not bee urine.
Yeah.
Bee word.
Oh, okay. So
he's calling him female dog.
Bee urine is a huge topic on the show. People always hitting his head. Do you remember when we started?
Pete's had a bad week. It's 9:30 on Monday morning.
Oh my goodness.
Remember the bee? It's a joke from the show. He's basically, they were talking about the bee sample for, I think it was.
It was Nate Nunn. Is it Nate Diaz?
Yeah.
That's in a UFC fighter, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it might have been. Anyway, his bee urine sample was all screwed up, and we made a joke about bee urine. And you weren't there for that. And now,
did we make a joke about bee urine, or did you think I was saying the urine from a bee?
Am I imagining, or did Manny just say those exact words?
I couldn't follow anything Manny was saying.
Well, after
I did see all this, by the way, Jake Paul destroyed a guy, and then Conor McGregor said he's obviously juicing. And you look at the picture of Jake Paul, and man, he is huge. It's easy to believe Conor McGregor. I feel like no one's ever going to wrap their head around Jake Paul being a good boxer.
I don't know. I think it's also kind of ironic that Conor McGregor is out there calling other men juice heads.
I know.
He himself all of a sudden looks like he could, you know, take on anybody in the world. McGregor would continue posting on Twitter saying
we're not done yet?
No,
oh,
because
great. He then, for this. Hold on, look at my pen.
McGregor then said Perry is released from Bare Knuckles. But post-fight, Perry said that McGregor can't do that.
He doesn't have a promotion because me and him are both owners of BKFC, so he can't fire me.
He then challenged McGregor's boxing abilities, Bogues.
We can fight in bare knuckle. Look at me. I lost to Jake Paul. Why don't you go fight Jake Paul and box him with the gloves on? I think it would be worse than Conor McGregor versus Mayweather.
In a since-deleted response, McGregor said, Michael, you are not any owner in BKFC, not in iota.
Okay.
BKFC, Bare Knuckle Fight Club?
Fighting Championship.
Not close enough.
I think we're going to need NFL insider Andrew Brand to explain the ownership.
I think Maggie's got to come back tomorrow.
All right.
Baseball.
Please. Please.
Something else. Please.
Last night,
Manny, you look like you're going to give away a cooler for the U.S. Olympics in 1988. Yeah. I was just trying to figure that out all day. You look like you're giving away a promotional item.
Right. He's next to the Spuds McKenzie.
Right. Oh, hey. If you found Herb, then you get a free cooler.
The can turns blue in the fridge.
Right.
That's when you know it's cold, guys. That's when you know it's cold. Last night, Ozzy Albies left early during the Braves' 6-2 loss to the Cardinals. An X-ray revealed a fracture in his wrist that'll cause him to miss eight weeks. The Braves front office already at work to fill his void, Bogues, as they and Whit Merrifield are in agreement on a major league deal.
Have you seen Whit Merrifield play this year?
Merrifield was released by division rival Phillies earlier this month. So Whit Merrifield's going to, there you go, with the Braves, Pearl.
Okay, here I have a question. Bogus, you were talking about the Braves' injuries, incredible rash of injuries. They are right now 54-44. The Mets, your Mets, are 50-48. Would you do a bet about who will finish higher? I'll take the Braves.
Oh, I'm so happy I get to witness this.
I mean, I don't believe in the Mets, so that's hard for me to pick them.
You got to believe, bud.
You can't.
All right.
You don't have
All right.
to.
Yeah, I mean,
you No, we could do a bet, but I'm not like, it's not anything significant because it's not a huge gamble.
You're not gonna
the Mets stink.
You're not going to eat green gelatin?
That was a famous Maggie and Proff show bet. Manny, you want in on this action? Who do you got? I feel like the Braves will find a way to have a winning record.
They always do. Yeah, yeah. I like the Braves. I don't have any confidence in the Mets. Why would I bet on the Mets? For 27 years, I've learned to not do that.
Restate this again. I was doing a couple other things.
The Braves have all these injuries. They're 54-44. The Mets are 50-48.
Pete wants the action.
I'll bet that the Braves end up with a better record despite all those injuries
than the Mets.
Yeah, I'm not taking that. No chance.
We know how this works.
They're heading toward another like 7-game losing streak right now.
Although we have Mets Braves this weekend, I think, right?
Yeah, that's
so, the toilet bowl. Check back with me and Pete on Monday.
Yeah,
I mean, that could be over by Monday, or we will give you a kid as for part
check
of this
back
bet.
With me on Friday. That's what we'll know.
I didn't feel great about the bet. I'm actually glad you guys did not jump in. The Mets will improve in the second half. All right, what else, man?
No, they won't. Have you seen the Mets' August schedule? The Mets have 2 10-game West Coast road trips in August.
All right, have you seen the Mets lineup below 5? We're not unless you're going to acquire Randy Arozarena, you're not really getting far.
He hit 2 home runs yesterday for the Rays against the Yankees. Yeah. All right. Well, former All-Star Ty France, he has been placed on waivers by the Seattle Mariners in 26 games since returning from a hairline fracture on his heel. France is hitting .159 with 1 home run and 4 ribbies. On June 18th, the Mariners were 44-31 and held a 10-game lead in the AL West. Their win 6-4 over the Astros yesterday puts them back in a virtual tie for first place in the division. Julio Rodriguez did leave the game, though, after running into the wall and spraining his ankle in the 6th inning. He is considered day-to-day.
That's horrible. Scott Service should be getting a lot of blame for this. They shouldn't be losing a lead like that to the Astros.
Do you want to run their team, too?
Yes, I do. I'm volunteering to run their team
as well.
All
right. Pete's mad at the Seattle Mariners.
I am.
Fire Jerry DePoto and bring in Pete.
It's time for them to actually start doing things in the playoffs. Since Ken Griffey Jr. was there, they haven't been doing anything.
A few more finals from yesterday. Aaron Judge, he homered for the 35th time this year, and the Yankees lost to the Rays 6-4. The Phillies, they avoid a sweep and beat the Pirates 6-0.
All right, go Phils, go.
The Red Sox, they did not have the same fortune as the Dodgers sweep then 9-6. Bob Melvin, he was tossed before the first pitch of a Giants win over the Rockies 3-2. Golf, Xander Schauffele wins the Open Championship, claiming his second major of the year. Bogues, what's so funny?
Golf. Made me laugh.
Yeah, Xander Schauffele. He won the Open Championship.
All right. It's exciting stuff, Manny.
Back to you guys.
Yes.
I'll be selling it. I'll be waiting around the corner on the table if you want a free
cooler. I'm going to come out there in the break and say, wait, what happened with Conor McGregor? No, I understand.
That's it. Buy us one more time.
Okay.
You want me to read the tweets? It's a lot of P in there.
If you spell them, it's fine.
No, it's not.
Yeah, man. It's Maggie's trick. Just spell the curse words and they don't count.
It's not.
Okay, we have results coming in on our greatest sitcom bracket ever. There are 4 matchups today in the Sweet 16. There are 3 total blowouts. I mean blowouts. But there is one 50-50. So I'm going to reveal it.
What a tease.
And I've been able to juice the voting on these different things before, so I'll decide what I want to do here. That's coming up.
Should you be admitting that?
Collusion.
Oh, no, juice. Like, I'll bring more attention to certain polls to make sure that people know that a show that they love is losing.
Does it happen in the bit?
Does it, oh, the bits?
The bits legit. Well, there's nothing,
no, I'm not like, I'm not changing the actual votes, but I am drawing attention to the matchups that I think are unfair. Because I think if people knew that this show is losing, they might jump right in.
It'd be like Taylor Swift supporting Kamala Harris. That's what Perloff is. He brings the youth vote.
Oh, does he now?
Why are we going here?
Bogus, what are you doing?
It's topical.
We're 3 hours and 40 minutes in, and now you bring up Kamala Harris? What are you doing
it's
here?
It's topical, and it's apolitical, and it's a joke because you're not Taylor Swift.
All right.
He's not?
All right. Come up next. We'll update the sitcom bracket right here, Maggie and Perloff. All right, we're back on Maggie and Perloff. Bogus sitting in for Maggie Gray, who's on vacation. She'll be back soon. Our executive producer, EJ Stewart, has been recovering from knee surgery. And I believe we have EJ up. EJ, how you doing, buddy? How you feeling?
Doing good. I feel like I've been watching the show. I'm producing the show from home today. And I feel like I've seen a lot of pot shots coming from your way. So I'm a little annoyed, to be honest.
Fair.
But otherwise, doing fine. Both of you guys have been taking a lot of pot shots, but it's okay. It's, you're lucky to Zoom. The same issues that Maggie had with the travel was the issues I had with Zoom this morning in terms of trying to get the computer up. But we're back now.
That's how it works. When you're not here, you're just vulnerable. You can't fight back. I'm sorry, dude. Well, the sitcom bracket from day one has caused nothing but tension. You know, me and Maggie picked the brackets. A lot of controversy. Somehow some powerhouses got through to Pete's bracket that we didn't even have. But we're down to Sweet 16. Voting is almost done. Can you update us on what is happening today in the Maggie and Perloff Show sitcom bracket?
Okay, so today we did the Sweet 16 for the Simpsons region and the Seinfeld region. So first in Seinfeld region, in the 1-5 matchup, Seinfeld is leading right now 85% number one seed to the fifth seed, show at 15%, so a massive blowout. Here we have a razor sharp regional semifinal here in this assigned for region. I Love Lucy, the number two seed, up on the Fresh Prince, 51-49 right now.
Ooh.
So razor sharp.
Two iconic shows there. Yeah.
Absolutely. So Seinfeld will be looking at it, maybe a potentially tough match between either Fresh Prince or I Have Lucy. That is essentially a 51-49 split right now. And then in the Simpsons region, we have the Simpsons wiping out the Jeffersons right now, 75%, 25% Simpsons, of course, number one seed in that region. And then this very interesting matchup, this 2-14 matchup between The Office and Family Guy. Family Guy being a 14 seed that's been controversial for maybe being underseeded. Family Guy is up 71% to 29%. So you can, of course, continue to vote. The voting is open up until tomorrow. So we have 24 hours to get your votes in. So make sure you guys go to the Maggie and Pearl Twitter page to vote. And I will say, I know Pearl keeps saying that, oh, our bracket keeps getting, torn apart, whatever. We have a lot of higher seeds here. So, it's not like we had these massive upsets. Like, we only have one really big Cinderella that has made it super far in Family Guy, which, again, maybe was our fault with underseeding. I would say our bracket's been great because the seeding has survived, right? We've seen a lot of chalk. So I don't want to hear this stuff about our bracket. Our bracket's been fine. You're seeing that through these results.
I think you mix it up. The Office is destroying Family Guy. It's The Office.
I had to say that. The Office, 71%. Family Guy, 29%.
What else did we take pot shots at you? Is there anything else you want to defend yourself, perhaps?
Oh, yeah.
Basketball, EJ?
Yeah. First of all, the whole idea that I don't love the Dream Team. I do love the Dream Team. I just think that the Redeem Team and the 2012 team were also great teams.
Wait. I'll give you the Redeem Team is a thing. 2012 team. What was the 2012 team? Who'd they beat?
Well, the 2012 team actually was probably better than the Redeem Team in terms of talent.
God, you're such a basketball nerd.
Team had Kevin Durant. What do you mean? Of course.
I'm just saying nobody on earth cares about the 2012 men's U.S. Olympic basketball team. Of course they won.
You always say that no one cares thing. Nobody. Clearly there are people who care because when we talk about the best Olympic team, I guarantee you people of my generation will bring up both the Redeem Team and 2012. This idea that the 92 team.
I'm not saying they're not great, but they have no impact.
No, they do because, look, the 92 team is phenomenal. There's no question about that. But let's be real. They really literally were playing against plumbers and fire truck drivers or whatever. Like they were playing as guys who wouldn't take autographs on the free throw line, okay? Like this was different in 08 and 2012. The game had evolved. There are a lot of great teams all over the country. And the USA actually had to face other NBA players, other good teams. They still were able to bring back the gold. And those teams were stacked. Awesome teams. Like 08 and 2012 also very iconic as well. Not the dream team iconic, but if you're telling me best teams, you have to put them in that conversation.
I just don't find these modern sort of dream teams that entertaining. I don't know what the style of play like. I've been watching a lot because the time our show's on early in the morning. I've been watching a lot. It just doesn't feel special for some reason. This the way the team is constructed and the style of play. Maybe it's because they're too dominant.
I don't know how you can say that though, because the 2008 gold medal game was maybe the best international basketball game we've ever seen. Like,
who was it?
Like, it was the U.S. versus Spain.
Oh, the Pau Gasol, Kobe knocked out Pau Gasol game. Okay,
yeah. Right. Well, that was actually I think in the pool play. They played again in the gold medal game. U.S. blew them out in pool play. Then played in the gold medal game, and the U.S. was down late, and Kobe had some big threes to help them seal that win. But that was a close game. We didn't know what was going to happen down the stretch. Those were great games. Again, nobody can remember any game from the 92 Dream Team. The only game they remember is Dragan Petrović getting or Tony Kukoč getting beat up by Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. Otherwise, all people remember from the Dream Team is that they blew everybody out by 70 points.
Well, people
actually do remember the 08 team and the games they played.
I think people do remember Charles Barkley elbowing a guy from Angola. That was amazing. by the way, I'm looking back at some of those rosters. There were a lot of pros in the Eastern European teams. Back then, you know, it's not as good as now.
Yugoslavia had a decent team again. Tony Kukoč was on it, Drazen Petrović was on it, but a lot of those other teams were not. They were nowhere near as good as the world is now, which is it shows in the results, right?
Yeah.
Like, again, Team USA was winning those games by a combined, like an average of 30, 40, 50 points, and we've seen the gap tighten, which is why I think when Joe Vardon talked earlier, he made the point that they're going to have training camps and have to have some kind of program in place so you guys have more chemistry. I think he's 100% right. I think that's one of the biggest issues right now with Team USA and why they've struggled so far in this exhibition.
Yeah, maybe it's okay. Maybe for me, it was more fun when they're blowing guys out. I don't need to see Bam Adebayo with a 9-foot turnaround. I mean, I'm just like, I don't know. There's something stale about this team. And it was kind of LeBron was right. He said after the game that he liked the close game better than the blowouts. Like, finally, there was something to watch on Saturday because it was cool to see LeBron sort of rise to the occasion. Generally, there just hasn't been the drama for me. And that's my problem, EJ, with 2012, too. Like, it didn't rise to my level because I just guess I thought they'd never lose.
Right. But at the same time, again, in 08, like, they had been tested and they won a gold medal game that was contested. I don't know how that's less exciting than watching the Dream Team just run people over by 60 points.
Greatest
like that's my only point.
Bogus. Anything to say to EJ?
To EJ, and this is how I think you were arguing with me about MJ and LeBron. Like, you can't, I think you have to be alive in 92 to understand that there is no comparison to that team in that moment. Because everything that was being redeemed in 08 and 12 was being redeemed originally by the 92 Dream Team and that collection of guys in that moment. Everything else comes second. There's just not a comparison. I don't care who was on the Yugoslavian team.
Yeah.
I don't care the context of 2012. I've got Jordan and Magic and Bird, and I've got the Great Lithuania Grateful Dead t-shirts and Sarunas Marcellonis and those guys. Like, I don't need anything else. Like, that's it. That conversation begins and ends with 92. Everything else comes after it.
Do you think, I mean, let's have a real conversation. Could Michael Jordan and four college players have beaten this current team?
Peak Jordan.
I'm just kidding. I was just trying to annoy you. EJ, we got to get you back on Zoom earlier in the show tomorrow. Thanks for jumping on, buddy. We'll talk soon. Meanwhile, Vince Carter dunking on Frederick Weiss is the single greatest men's Olympic play of all time.
Right, and didn't he say when he said the greatest game we've ever seen was the 08 final? Does he mean like us right now or all of us? Because I feel like some USA, USSR games are pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I got to tell you, whatever they played in China, I certainly didn't see any of that. Wasn't that on at 3 a.m? I love EJ's passion. He'll be back on Zoom tomorrow. Meanwhile, thanks to Manny Rodriguez. Thank you, Pete Bilotti and the Bilotti Invitational Tournament. Thank you, Andrew Bogus. Look forward to tomorrow. Lots of NFL training camp coming up. I can't wait.